discussion. Let's talk about something. Real Talk Radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a hottest talk show. Real Talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it popping. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
Real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Happy Friday, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. Welcome back to another riveting episode of Real Talk Radio Live with Dr. D. IBC. And I thank you for joining me right now, wherever you may be, taking the opportunity to check in, to hear my spiel, if you will. I'm thankful over recent last couple episodes. I thank for those that are in China, all the billions of people that are in China. I'm not saying I got a billion listeners over there, but there's one person in China, and three in India. Thank you for listening to these episodes, if you will. I really take pleasure and find it an honor that some of you are listening as much as you can as we get back into the swing of this internet radio thing. As I got ready to come online this morning, I was doing some reading and following up on some stories that I plan to address on next week. And one of the ones that just got me, and it wasn't planned for today, and I'm not going to get fully into it at this time. Excuse me. Is this thing with law enforcement and the public. It is tragic what's happening. And this, again, is a follow-up from yesterday's show. Yesterday we talked about the Bahim Jean murder trial, what Amber Geiger, Dallas police officer, killed my man in his own house as he was watching TV, eating ice cream, or just being where he needed to be. And yet still, he lost his life. Sound is not, apparently have not the best signal, but we're going to press through what we have at this time. But just watching, again, some video and reading some portions, this just the disproportionate media presence of these tragic events, again, concerning law enforcement and innocent Americans being pulled over, being stopped, being killed. By police officers, arguably in the line of duty or in the line of basic routine traffic stops, which appears as read and appears as seen as being anything other than a routine. And just the fear that it continues to perpetuate. Again, we talked about this yesterday, but again, I just believe that there's a demonic force. There is something more going on. I mean, we're not going to state a case. We're not going to paint a picture that everything is well. We're not going to paint a picture that these isolated incidents, because there are too many to be isolated. Okay, true enough, it has not happened in every city yet. That's a fact. Okay, but there's not two or three things that happened over the last few years either, okay? So I want to make sure that we're clear on that, because I don't want to put out a vibe that I am biased toward law enforcement or against law enforcement, because people have lost their lives, have been harassed, beat up, detained, mistreated, disrespected, all by other citizens who have a job to be peace officers and playing the role of police officers with authority. And now is a growing sensation where at one point in time it can be argued, stated, and said that a lot of these people that are being mistreated by the police can sense the things from the police officers that violated their individual rights, but when you don't know your rights, you can't really stand up and advocate for them. But now it appears that even people who know their rights are aware of the constitutional safeguards still are being ignored by the police. And that, again, that's true. That's happening. It's at this point well documented. I disagree with the people who will tell you or will say that these things have increased since President Donald Trump got elected. I don't think that's true at all. Some of us understand that historically these things have been going on for years, okay? But I bring up the current administration and how people will place this blame on Trump and his campaign, Trump and his administration, Trump and his views, because it's being reported more and one-sidedly, and that's where I want to get to. It is apparent to me, revolutionaries, I got to come up with a name for the people who listen to the show, something powerful and polarizing. You know, at our church, we're winners. We welcome each other to the winner circle every day. We're victors, right? I got to come up with something for the show. But the media is reporting everything, not everything, but a lot of the stuff that's happening with the, like I said, the killings and the harassment and abuse, the choking, the punchings, the misconduct of our police officers, which should be documented, which should be followed up on, which should be investigated, which should lead to the termination of employment in a lot of cases. But police officers around the country, law enforcement around the country and the world do a lot of good. Police officers, police departments, law enforcement agents, and agents and agencies do a lot of good in neighborhoods, at schools, and community centers and groups. That's also true. It can be argued that's part of their job, and we can finally tune that another time. My point is, this is not being reported, and not being perpetuated. Everything is one sided. And there's always two sides to every story. This we know. It works out for our good to understand that there's two sides to every story. Because when you only hear one side, you're going to lean that way. And what bigger motivator, what bigger battle cry, what bigger rally point is there for a human being other than fear? Fear motivates, fear encapsulates, fear will generate false courage. Folks feel when they're back against the wall and they have nowhere to turn, that's when people will strike for the most part. Everybody doesn't shut down in fear. And so if something, someone, the media, for example, was trying to just sensationalize the misconduct of the police officers, and that's all the public sees, and it's real. Again, it's real. But we don't highlight the good. We don't highlight the situations. We don't highlight the situations where cops are taking money out of their pockets and they have aftercare programs. I know some of the Detroit Police Department does. They have an aftercare program. They're not the only ones in the nation that do it. But to follow up after a report, after a domestic violence situation, after a narcissist attack, after tragedy, the police department has, police departments have programs in place where they're actively dealing with the citizenry after the fact. That stuff isn't highlighted, isn't perpetuated. And that is important because hope helps conquer fear. Hope is a situation where we can understand that not all cops are bad, just like all preachers aren't good, right? Every pastor isn't righteous. Every person that goes to church ain't a Christian. These things are just universally true. But when we put everybody in the same bag, and we throw that same bag out the window, we categorize everybody the same. We judge everyone the same. It puts us in a bad place. And no matter how tough we want to be, how we may feel, based off opinion or public or private and past experience. Society needs its police officers. There has to be a coalition, a working agreement. There has to be a connection between the public and the police, the cops and the community. It has to be that way. It is the only, listen, take the police out of the cities and look what happens. And if you live in a metropolitan area, if you live in an urban area, and you go around that city, you can tell the areas where the police don't possess a heavy presence, right? You know where you can go in a city and won't find a lot of cops. The neighborhood looks different. The people act differently. There's a general feeling of being unsafe. If your city you live in borders a suburb, and depending on your particular driving habits or criminal status, it is unspoken. There's a thing that you can do in your urban city that you can't do in the suburban cities, because in the suburban city there's a higher police presence. And it's normally you talk to people in those situations, it is, well, in my city the police treat me better than they do over in the suburban areas. No, it is, if you go to the suburban areas, the police are going to be on you. And then that's considered racism, like driving by black, which is a thing. Driving by in color, while driving by colored, that we don't use that word anymore. Driving by color gets their attention and all of that. And that may be true too. But my point is that where police presence is felt, there's normally a general feeling of safety. There's normally a general feeling of rule and law. And that's important as well. We can't have a lawless society. We can't have a situation where the rules don't apply. And that's really one of the things I want to talk about. Thank you. Why, great segue. Thank you, Lord. Because I entitled episode 3, Responsibility, Accountability, and Truth, How Society Got Lost. And I really didn't plan again to talk about the police officer thing this week, especially after that. I didn't want to be too heavy on a Friday. I got to get you to come back and listen to us on Monday. But in lawless society, does not breed much of anything. And I wonder, the question I'm asking myself, even today in 2019, consider our churches, our homes, our communities, has the liberty that we found, this liberty that we have, where we've taken the whole, don't judge me, we can't judge each other. Although that's not biblical, because Tupac said it, don't mean it's biblical. Tupac said only God can judge. That's what Pac said. The Bible didn't say that. Pac said that, not Peter. Okay? But we've taken that nobody can judge me. Is that more of a battle cry? Was that a caveat? Was that a way for us to not be responsible or held accountable? Because it seems as if when we decided to gather this mantra that nobody can judge us, we stopped judging ourselves. We stopped being accountable. And we all grew up differently, and some the same, different areas, same values. Some values used to translate generations. Some values and standards used to translate cities and states. Every family had a culture that was connected to a bigger culture, and that culture permeated in society. Respect the elders was not just a West Side thing. Respecting the elders was a cultural thing, not talking back to them, saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am. If you're down in the South, if you walk down the street back in the day, you spoke to people as you walked past them. It was just something that was a part of the culture. It's something that people did naturally, instinctively, and nobody found harm with that. But now we're so isolated within ourselves, we're mean-spirited toward each other, and nobody says anything else about it. More, and just in that vein about responsibility and accountability. I know as my generation grew up, and I think it's right after we graduated, there was this thing called don't snitch. Don't report anything that has nothing to do with you. And the airports, just conversely, if you travel different places, different public places, there's a policy for security that says if you see something, say something. Well, if you see something, say something, violate the spirit of not snitching, because snitching again in itself was don't report, don't speak on, don't say anything about something that doesn't concern you. Well, look what happened when our society seemed to adopt that. And it infiltrated our youth. Sex trafficking is huge. It's a terrible problem. Because my son could be somewhere at a bus stop, at a game, at the mall, minding his own business, and he could see two men or three women snatch up another kid or snatch up a child in a kidnapping type form and whisk him away. But won't say anything because in a culture in which he now lives, he can't snitch. Can be at a club somewhere and watch somebody drug somebody's drink, knowing what the game is, and feel compelled not to warn that person, not to drink that substance because it's been drugged because we've been told not to snitch. A lot of people can testify. I feel my help coming on. How we have been we have been in situations where we have watched people break in a neighbor's house, see them walking around suspiciously, won't call the police, won't contact the neighbor because it's not our business. We don't want to snitch. And that's fine until they next week break into our house. What happened to our standards? What happened to our responsibility as neighbors to our and our families where you know it is an epidemic that parents don't have to be parents anymore. Parents want to be friends because parenting is hard work. What happened to being responsible and knowing that as a parent it was or is the responsibility of the parent to raise a child, no matter how wrong the child may be, knowing the child is going to make mistakes. Because that happens. It is part of their life's journey, right? And even at the church is going to stand for something. Again, this is again, continuation, this part. This whole message is a continuation from yesterday. What does the church stand for? Where's the accountability? How come, and watch this, and whether we agree with the policies or not, there was a time when people were out of order in their personal life, the relationship between the family and the church was such that a parent could bring that kid or that situation to the church, and the church could rally around their family, and at the end of the day, it was still, you can't do that here. You can't come to church drunk or high. You shouldn't want to come to church after you've had premarital sex or what have you. You get what I'm saying? And now, today, all that happens, and all I'm saying is this. I think it all stems from the fact that we developed this situation, this mindset, where we can't judge one another. And that, again, Pac said that, not Peter. The Bible does not say we can't judge people, but Jesus said, judge not. Yes, he did, but read on. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Whatever matter in which you judge someone else, you will also be judged. That's not a prohibition on judging. That is the responsibility of making the judgment call. If you don't mind being judged, then you can judge. That's what Jesus was saying. But the Bible also says other things that we must do to make judgment. Mark them that cause disputes among you. Know them that labor among you. Deal not with rebel rousers, backbiters, blasphemers. These are people that are judged by their actions. And we need to be mindful of who they are because here's another scripture, another Bible verse, a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. We have to be aware of that type of person, because letting that type of person in the fellowship unchecked will eventually have a negative impact on the fellowship itself, fellowship of believers at the church house is what we're getting at. But because we kind of said, okay, whatever you want to do is fine, whoever you want to live is fine, we developed that attitude, that mindset, we lost something. I say to us, how you live in your house, how you raise your children, affects me and mine. And because it affects me and mine, I can have an opinion and have an obligation to say something to some degree. Again, it's not wise to knock on the door and tell people, you know, you going to hell and, you know, your kids are ugly. No, nonsense like that. But within the confines of decorum and neighborhood activity, right, and fellowship and camaraderie and love, what you do in your house affects me. It does. And I think that's logical and it's fair. But that's my opinion. 516-666-9488 is the call and number. Some people are already on the switchboard. God bless you for listening. Some are listening via the website, because I'm getting messages all over the place here. And I thank God for listening. It's still on this 516-666-9488. If you are on and you want to go live, hit the number one. Let me know and we get you on the air. You can share your opinion. Does what you do in your house affect me? I said it does. 516-666-9488 is a call in number. This is Real Talk Radio Live with Dr. D. back live on the air, live with Dr. D, real live with Dr. D. Real Talk Radio. I got thrown off as I began the show, listening to some video, reading some things about some of this corruption and this just terrible behavior with law enforcement and the media spin on it, and talking about the lack of and the loss of responsibility and accountability. And the title of the episode was How Society Got Lost. And in talk about lack of accountability and responsibility. As we went to our music break, I Can't Depend on God by Charles Mix. I'm gonna give you at least one throwback old song every episode, just because it gets me home. I hope you enjoyed them too. But I my name is Rook City. Long time supporter. We started internet radio. Yeah, he's the one got me into internet radio. As a matter of fact, and we started our internet radio two different shows. I don't know if I should play. I don't know if it's still up. It's called U Hot Radio, which is a hip hop station, and we're the only ones doing. He played gospel music doing his show, and I even got some commentary. We did such great numbers that the owner of U Hot launched another website. Called Spiritual Vibe Radio, and he and I went on there with our two different, took our shows over there, and did the first dual cast. We were dual casting on Spiritual Vibe and you had at the same time. We both eventually launched outside our own kind of radio networks and shows, and then we came together. And he's co-hosted with me on the wide range of shows that I've been blessed to start and host. Rook sent me a link during the break, and it's so sad that it made me laugh. Talk about being sacrilegious. Here it is. This is from WKRN.com. I don't know much about this website, but it is a local Fox 2 affiliate somewhere. Someplace, and here is the article. And again, WKRN.com. You can look this article up yourself. This bit of news, as posted on October 14th of this year at 5:17 a.m. Central Time. Here it is. You ready for this? Y'all listening? Lean in real close. Jesus shoes with holy water soles. Sell out in minutes. That's right. That's right. Jesus shoes with holy water soles sell out in minutes. CNN.com. A shoe company is now saying you can walk on water in their sneakers, and they aren't technically wrong. This is the article. Nike released a pair of sneakers called Jesus shoes, and for just $1,400. And some change, you can get the experience of following in Christ's footsteps. That's blasphemy all by itself. Sacrilegious. These shoes have water from the Jordan River injected into the soles. The Brooklyn-based design company bought less than 24 pairs of Nike Air Max 97s for their collab culture venture. In addition to the holy water, blessed by a priest, the white kicks feature a miniature crucifix, frankincense scented wool insoles, and a single drop of blood on the tongue to symbolize Jesus. The bottoms of the shoes are also dyed a reddish tint to mimic the shoes worn by popes long ago. Wow. The shoes released Tuesday sold out and almost immediately. On the company website, on the company's website called Mischief, said more will be available October 22nd, subsequent 2nd, and 4th Tuesdays of each month. They have come up and released Jesus shoes with water from the Jordan injected into the soles, a drop of blood on the tongue to represent Jesus. And the claim is you can now follow in the footsteps of Christ. with these shoes on, and it sold out in minutes. That is absolutely sacrilegious to me. It is offensive to me, and it's funny to me how, again, in our society, nothing is sacred. And then to really sell how terrible that is. The tagline, the gimmick is, wearing these shoes, you now can follow in the footsteps of Christ. Not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not coming to complete a mission that you were sent on and asked for. Not give up the right for the wrong. Not promote and push love. Not to stand for God and be willing to, you know, reject it at the point of human pain to accomplish the mission you were sent on. Not to feed people, love people, bless people, still be rejected by the same people. None of that. None of that. Not carrying a cross, amen, that was so heavy, I hadn't been sturdy enough to support the weight of a grown man, but to carry 1.2 miles down the Via Della Rosa up a slight incline on a hill called Calvary. Not to have spikes hammered through your veins, through your feet, and not to be hung high, stretched wide, so you could drop your head and die as people that you're dying for are mocking you. Your mothers in the crowd looking at you with a sadness I can't even begin to describe, but just a hope that this pleases the Father. You have to go through none of that. None of that. Don't worry about it. Just buy these Nikes, these Air Force 97s, with a drop of blood on the tongue. Whose blood is that? With some Jordan water injected to the soles. And you too can walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That is absolutely crazy to me. It is absolutely crazy. That takes me back. That did something to me. But again, I don't know how much hype. This first I've heard about it. I don't know how much hype this got locally. I don't know if any church organizations came out against it. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I just know that the premise of it is terrible. It is, to me, is disrespectful to my Savior. It is a slap in the face to the life I try to live, because all the things I endure as a Christian, I want to walk in the steps of Jesus, just wait for the second or fourth Sunday of the month and buy Jesus' shoes. Although I'm pretty sure the Lord, when he's walking from Judgment Hall to Judgment Hall and from Dusty City to Dusty City, around Capernaum and Galilee, he probably would have a pair of gym shoes as opposed to those sandals he's sporting. But be that as it may, buy these shoes, and you can be like Jesus. And people are buying them. Yes, 516-666-9488, Real Talk Radio Live with Dr. D. We've lost so much, and that's obvious. That is an obvious and honest commentary on our society. How we lost it, why we lost it, is all worth and up for a conversation and debate. There was a time, some of you may remember, read about, there was a time, but let's be honest, okay? There's always been crime. There's always been crime. There's always been, we've never lived in a utopia, okay? And if you really understand what we read in our Bible, there was a war in heaven. Okay, the angels, Pete Gang. There's always been, as long as there's been emotion in the earth, there's been strife, consequence, and upheaval, period. But there was also a time when even doing crimes, like in America, back in the early 1800s and such, when it was tame in the West, okay, when everyone legally carried a handgun or a rifle. Everybody carried guns. Murder wasn't what it is now because there are rules in place. You can't shoot a man that's unarmed. You can't shoot a man legally in cold blood. You can't shoot a man in the back legally. You don't kill women and children. Even criminals took offense to a criminal that killed women and children. There were some standards back then. there was some statutes. There was some cultural safeguards in place where people who did these things, who broke these or infracted these laws of human decency, were not allowed to hang out and be around everybody else. You were ostracized from the group when you could not follow the rules of the group. And today, everything goes, no matter how we feel, everything goes. That is sad and sickening to me. And here's the question, can it be fixed? Can it be fixed? Of course, it was going to be fixed, because the day is coming. The day is coming when the sky's going to be cracked. It's going to be fixed. So, but can we slow down the degradation of our society? Can we slow down this downward slide that we seem to be on? Can we pump our brakes and decrease the speed? Because we lost something. I find myself praying for our elders and our women. We make it a point to mention, like, I'm Bible class tonight. First of all, they stop by the gas station. I'm advocating smartness, wisdom. Get gas during the day. Go to a populated, lit filling station. We call them filling stations anymore, gas station. Although there is no guarantee of safety there, we want to increase our chances. But let me be clear, as this broadcast being heard by churchgoers and non-churchgoers alike, my faith dictates, my Bible reads, and I hold fast to, that unless we are in the safe arms of our God, there is no safety anywhere else. Got a gun, alarm system, and a dog. The Bible says, "Lest the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain." That's after lest the Lord build the house. They that buildeth in vain. If God is not for us, thank God, thank Him that He is. There's nothing we can do. Songwriter penned a song long time ago called "Safe in His Arms." Funny, I was gonna put that today, but I'm gonna say that for later on next week. Unless we're safe in His arms, in His bosom, how do we be safe in His arms? Be safe in His will. How do we know we're in His will? We have a relationship. How do you build a relationship? Well, you read His word and you pray. I know how to pray. Well, you know how to read, don't you? I don't read that good. That's something we all suffer with. A lot of Bibles. You got a smartphone, not borrow one. You can download your Bible app and it will read to you. The Lord knows your heart. He knows our proficiencies and our deficiencies. All God really wants from us is sincere effort to be closer to Him. Help me, Holy Ghost. All He wants is our effort to be closer to Him, to be like Him, to understand Him, and we'll find ourselves in His will. And when you find yourself in His will, you have a relationship. You can feel Him. He talk with you. He encourage you. Even when He got to whoop you, He let you know He's doing it out of love. If God don't be for us, then there's nothing stops. Nothing can stop the demise that's to come. America was started because people fled. People left Great Britain. They fled, not fled, fled, thank you. They fled Britain for religious persecution. They wanted to be a Christian country. Again, so Christian was America in the beginning that even Christmas was banned as a pagan holiday. They started this country to be under God, and all the rules and laws that started this country are all based on the Ten Commandments, of biblical scripture. Every one of them. That's why around the country you'll find still the Ten Commandments sculptures and things in different capital houses around the different states, because it was designed, our laws were designed off those precepts. Look how far we've come. and God shed his grace on thee. For brotherhood and from sea to shining sea. Well, we got to get our responsibility back. We got to be held accountable, right? That's the truth. Thank you for joining us. I will probably do a Real Talk TV episode this weekend. Real Talk TV this weekend, and I'll promote it out there on social media. Thank you for joining us here today. I hope you have a great week. I hope you enjoy this nice fall week. Love on somebody. Let somebody love on you and be at peace with who you are in God and know he loves you and I, and we pray that we have a better week on to come. Father God, thank you for these listeners. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that you continue to make yourself available to us, your people. Help us find you where you are and talk to us in a way that we can hear and understand you. Give us strength to be obedient to your will, God. Remove the crooked places, make the crooked places straight. Remove the wicked wax of our ear that we may hear your still small voice directing us on which way to go. Thank you for the prayers, oh God. And we give your name praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. With that, I say amen. God bless you.